Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, the game online at thegamenashville.com, live today at Bridgestone Arena, where the Preds take on the Colorado Avalanche tonight, 7 o'clock, pregame at 6, right here, ESPN 102.5, the game. GM, the Titans are in first place in a three-way tie.
Tied for first place, yes.
But once again, you're the one who says there's no tie. So right now, the Titans are in first place because they have two wins in the division,
yep,
and nobody else does, and that came yesterday after they beat the Colts. We'll get to our opening takes in just a second, but first I got to give out a congratulations to start the show, if you're okay with that and if the audience is okay with that. And that goes to our buddy Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst. He and his wife Courtney just had their third child, a son, Frazier. Congratulations.
Fantastic.
To Chris. So apparently he's going to – child was born yesterday. He's doing the game tonight on TV.
Oh, yeah. He's a professional athlete.
Well, it's like when you said you went to the hospital in your coaching gear after a game and went back to go coach.
I left my wife in the labor room. I said, we got a game. I got to go.
So congratulations to Chris and Courtney on that. Okay, to the game. Titans are in first place. GM, let's start with opening takes. Would you like to start or would you like me to start?
Whatever you want.
You start. You're the GM.
All right.
Boy, people listen for you.
You know what? I thought it got off to a slow start. I thought it finished great. I thought there was an awful lot to like. There's a lot of work to be done to get where they need to be. I thought Marcus did a great job of hanging in the pocket, doing exactly what he had to do, throwing the ball, and that's without the threat of, you know, his running, breaking, contain, getting downfield, any of that kind of stuff. Still hung in there, was accurate, had a lot of completions. That went well. I thought we got more production out of our receivers. I mean, Decker had his best night, almost 100 yards. Taylor got into the thing a little bit, made a giant play, which was big. You know, ran the ball slowly to begin with, finished with a giant flurry. The secondary, I thought, generally speaking, was good. Did the best job we've done in probably the last 5, 6, I don't know how many years, taking away Hilton, which I think he had one catch for 19 yards or something like that. And that was like on the first or second series.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, he didn't do anything. So the secondary played well. Linebackers, okay. We got to get some more pass rush. I mean, we have got to get pass rush. And I think the second half of the game, they went in at halftime, adjusted at halftime, decided they were going to blitz more in the second half. They did it. It was disruptive. I think they were concerned a little bit about covering Hilton and all those kinds of things, but still were able to do it. But ended up getting some pressure on the young quarterback and made him look like a young quarterback. So I think as the game went on, they just kept getting better and better and better. And consequently, you know, when you run the ball, when you play our style offense, that's the way it's going to happen. And you hear people talk all the time, you know, the first five runs are 3 yards, 4 yards, 3 yards, four. The last five runs are 15, 20, 60, 20, 15. So, and that's kind of the way it worked out.
We said this yesterday on the show, run the ball. And that goes right to your point right there. And that was, look, they weren't getting 6 yards a pop in the first half, but they had to stay with running the ball. Run the ball. Because that play to Taywan Taylor for the touchdown, if you're not running the football, that doesn't happen. That play is because you were able to run the ball. And well, Indianapolis had to come up because they knew Derrick Henry was going to run the ball. The Titans, in the outside of the pick six from Marcus, in the second half, the Titans played what I talked about yesterday, Floyd, and I know you know all too well because you probably created it, but they played Titan ball in the second half. What we're used to seeing the Titans do. Marcus was really good, but Floyd, I'm worried. I mean, they averted a crisis last night, but when was it John Simon that walked into the end zone with the touchdown? When John Simon walks into the end zone, it's 19-9, and the Titans aren't doing anything but kick field goals. I'm sitting there starting to think, this is where the rubber's starting to meet the road. And I'm really, because you could not have lost that game last night. Gruden said it on the broadcast. I believe it. I mean, that was a must-win football game. There was no way you were going to beat the Houston Texans in this division if you're losing games at home to Indianapolis with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. So they averted a crisis. But I am worried. Because if it was anybody but the Colts, they might have put the game out of reach in the first half. Dante Moncrief drops a touchdown on the first possession. The Titans did nothing to keep that from being a touchdown. The ball hit Moncrief right in the hands, and he dropped it. There's a loss of 4 points that you did nothing to cause. Then Indy scores on the second possession. And to be honest with you, Jacoby Brissett, had he had Deshaun Watson's defense and not his defense, that game could have been a lot like the Texan game. And that's where I'm worried. Because we knew coming into the season, you know, they've went out and they've drafted Corey Davis and they brought in Eric Decker and the offensive line's supposed to be good and they got the running backs and this offense could explode. But I didn't think this defense would be that bad. And in the first half, the defense was horrible. Now, in the second half, the defense gave up 3 points. So whatever Dick LeBeau did at halftime worked. But, I mean, the first half, that defense, Floyd, was so bad for the Titans that against anybody except for the Colts or the team that they're going to play next week, the Browns, it might have been out of reach in the first half. If that defense plays the way that played last night, if they play that way when they go to Pittsburgh, there's no way the Titans are going to win that game. So they averted a crisis. They're in first place in the division. Saw a lot of good out of the game plan, out of Marcus, out of Mike, sticking to the run. And yet that defense just scares me. The way they played at times in that game just scares me. And I just don't know how to feel about this ball game. Because, yes, the Titans won. Yes, the Titans are in first place. Yes, you felt good leaving the stadium the way they won the game. But it is the Colts. And that team's not good. And the Titan defense just early, woof. So I don't know how to feel.
I'm excited. I thought it was a heck of a win. I thought they played better as they went. They started slow across the board, which has been a problem for this team for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Slow starts. And we've talked about that time and time again. But typical slow start. The longer we went, the better we got. I think across the board, we got literally better. We got better on offense, got better running the ball, got better throwing the ball, got better throwing from the pocket. We got better on defense. We finally got some pressure on the quarterback. We stopped the run. You know, I think, but what, they scored 3 points in the second half?
Yeah, it's what, because the six came off the pick six.
So, you know, they get 3 points in the second half. I guess you can get better than that, and you get a zero.
I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying about how, because in the second half, the Titans were forcing three and outs defensively, and they looked, you know, that's what I expected them to start the game looking like. But the defense looked like the defense that took the field against the Texans to start the game. And my one qualm there is you can't do that against anybody that's better than Indy, which is about 80% of the NFL. You can't do that against those teams and survive and be able to still run the ball unless you're playing the Indianapolis Colts. And that's why I'm a little worried, because I have been somewhat discouraged by how the defense has played the last couple of weeks.
I mean, how many yards did he give up last week?
Well,
200 yards.
The Dolphin offense, I don't know.
200 yards last week. They gave up 3 points in the second half this week. They gave up what? How many total points in this game?
As a 14? Defense, they gave up whatever 22 minus 6 is. Was that 16?
16 points. I mean, it's hard to get a lot better than that in the NFL now.
I know, but the Colts just moved right down the field to begin the game. And once again, Moncrief caught that touchdown.
They can drop
that touchdown. And if he catches it.
Yes, if.
And you're playing a better team, which every team except for the Browns, who you play next week, will be better than the Colts.
Key word there is if. But he didn't. So that's what we call a long foul ball. It looks good, but it means nothing. So
but if you're playing the Sounds, and then the next week you're playing the Yankees,
right.
It's totally different.
I would guess this. I would guess if you look at the stats over the last 2 weeks and put them all together, it's going to be hard to find a defense with better numbers than this defense.
What if we throw in 3 weeks?
No, 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. So we can't include that Texan game.
Texan game, I don't count on any. I don't count for offense, defense, special teams. I mean, I know what it
convenient.
Is. And I saw it. And I know it's a part of it, but that's not this team.
Okay, on the scale of 10, 1 to 10, with 10 being the most excited you could be after a Titan win, what are you?
Say that again.
On the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most excited you could be after a Titan win, what are you?
I am probably, 6 or 7.
See, I'm like a 4.
Yeah.
Because I'm worried.
I'm looking at this. I'm looking at breaking a spell that they had on us for 8 years or whatever it is.
I thought you said yesterday that didn't matter because these players hadn't played all
night. I'm looking at it for me. I mean, you're asking me. I'm looking at it and I'm saying, wow, it's just nice to get a win over these guys. I don't care. I mean, we've lost to a lot worse teams than that one we played last night. I mean, we've lost to them. And they're not as good as that team is. So I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, okay, good. I thought our young quarterback stood in the pocket and threw it well without the threat of getting out and doing it, which is, in my mind, a step along the maturation process. Again, we've got a lot more production out of a lot more players last night. I mean, we got Matthews, we got Decker, I'll tell you what, DeMarco catching the ball. DeMarco catches the ball as well as the receivers. He did an outstanding job. So there were a lot of pluses getting Taylor in there on that long bomb.
Which
that
we both begged for yesterday.
We need to do about 2 or 3 times a game, just out of principle. I don't care where he lines up. I don't care what the formation is. Just run down there as fast as you can. I'm going to throw it as far as I can. So, I mean, there were a lot of – now, is it a finished product? Absolutely not. Do we have to play a lot better than we did? Absolutely.
Okay, that's how we're starting the show. Initial takes on the Titans win yesterday against the Colts. Floyd is as giddy as you can be because, once again, that's just kind of how Floyd is. And I am a little worried because I'm worried with how they started. Because if they weren't playing the tomato cans, then it might have gotten out of reach early. So I'm just a little worried. But we'll take your call. 615-737-1025. Let's open up those phone lines. 615-737-1025. And we'll ask next, how much do we need to take the win with a grain of salt? Because it's the Colts. 615-737-1025. We're live at Bridgestone Arena today. The Honky Tonk Hat Trick is back tonight from 5 to 6:30 at Tootsie's Rippies and Honky Tonk Central, brought to you by Bud Light. Stop by any of these locations before any Predator weekday home game for specials on Bud Light. While there, register for a pair of tickets to an upcoming weekday home game and passes to the Bud Light Zone, or you may win a VIP hockey experience. Our very own Braden Gall will be at Honky Tonk Central tonight. The VIP experience is a pair of tickets to an upcoming game, dinner for two before the game, and a ride on the Zamboni during intermission. That's the Honky Tonk Hat Trick. Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, that's why you play 60 minutes right there. That's a perfect example of playing 60 minutes of football. And defense come back in that second half.
Shut them down
cold. Yeah. Offense just all night. You know, patience. We got to do a better job of scoring, but patience. Mm-hmm. And then it came in. And then it did. And we knew it would. Proud as hell of you guys. I would like to present this to somebody that came out here and put us in a position to win. Marcus.
Hey! Proud as hell of you guys, man. Continue this. Just keep rolling. Titans on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Titans winners on Monday Night Football. Marcus apparently getting the game ball. He also was the Gruden grinder last night, Floyd. I don't think you care about that. Neither do I. But Marcus was that. You heard Mike in his post-game speech there talking to the team. You can tell Mike doesn't care who the opponent was that they beat last night. Doesn't care how crummy the Colts are, which they are crummy. But I do think we need to ask the question before we go to the phones, Floyd, and that is, how much do we need to take this win with a grain of salt because it's the Colts? So I'll either let it start with you or I'll give you my answer, which I think you might be surprised by.
I mean, it doesn't make any difference to me. This is the NFL. Every one of these games that you win is big. Everyone. I don't care who you play. And to go out on Monday night, national TV, in front of the world, and beat a team that you haven't beaten for 8 years or once in 8 years, I think we have to look at as a really nice win. Now, is it like beating New England? No, it's not. But as of today, 27 teams in the NFL have won two, three, or four games. 27. That means there are five teams that two with, you know, four or five wins, and then there's a couple with no wins. So every team in the league, 27 teams, are within one game of each other. So in my world, when I live in that world, every win is critical. Every win is important. Because I'm going to tell you what, you know, every game that you're not winning, like this, if we don't win this game, we're in last place. Indy's in the tied for first. Well, that's how close it is. Now we win it. Now we're clearly in first place, and they're in last place. So, I mean, I thought it was a big win.
How close were the Titans to making the playoffs last year?
A game away.
What'd they do against the Colts last year?
Yeah, lost twice.
I think if you're a Titan fan, now look, I'm worried about this team. I really am. Now they're gonna beat Cleveland next week, but I'm without a doubt worried about the Titans. But I stand by what you say that everybody in the NFL is supposed to be 8-8. And that's the truth. We've been over this. The NFL, once again, is a socialist government. The worst team gets the best pick. There's a salary cap in place, so you can't sign a bunch of star players. Everybody's supposed to be 8-8, which goes to your theory of the difference between a team that is 10-6 and a team that is 6-10 is a handful of plays, 6 or 7 plays. Let's go to last night's game and think about all the humongous plays that were made. Marcus Mariota hits Taywan Taylor for a long touchdown. Titans made that play. Mm-hmm. Wesley Woodyard stops Jacoby Brissett on fourth down. That is a big play. Where I was sitting in the stadium, I thought for sure Brissett was going to get the first down. But all of a sudden, Brissett doesn't get the first down. They challenge and don't get it. Now all you need is a first down, and you win the ballgame. Mm-hmm. Williamson stripping Jack Doyle after the Colts had gone up. And the Colts were starting to get a little momentum there in the second half, and you started to feel the ballgame slip away, and Williamson strips Doyle, and it basically guarantees you points. Those are the plays in the game that you had to make. That's the difference between 10-6 and 6-10 is those handful of plays, and it's going to be that way in almost every game the Titans play, with the possible exception of next week. That, I mean, to me, yeah, do I think the Colts are lousy? Yeah, I do. Now, I'll say this. I love Brissett. I mean, I love Jacoby Brissett. I think if he knew the plays and if his offensive line wasn't so bad, and I think Brissett, I mean, usually when Bill Belichick makes a trade, you think he's trading away a bum for something in return. I mean, I think Brissett is pretty good. But I'll say this. I don't think the Colts are very good, but I'll take it because, once again, last year, if you had made the long throw to Taylor or you stripped Jack Doyle, and instead of losing the game here by 8 points, you beat the Colts here last year, you're 10-6, and you win the division, and you're going to New England for a divisional playoff game. And that is the NFL. That is just, I mean, if the Patriots don't get a gift of a rule, which you say is the worst rule in the NFL, that touchback rule, if the Patriots don't get that against the Jets, they might lose to the Jets. And the Jets were supposed to be 0-16 this year. That is the NFL. I mean, I know that I walked away from that Colt game last night, and you feel good about it. You're worried because there's a lot of problems with this team. But at this point, for a franchise that has lost games like this to Jacksonville and games like this to Indy and games like this to Houston, I don't think you can ever feel bad or have to take a grain of salt away from a win like that last night.
Well, and you look throughout the league and, you know, you say, well, how do the Oakland Raiders feel today? You know, they're not happy. Now, would they have rather played so-so and have, you know, kick a PAT and end up in overtime winning the game? Yeah. I mean, that would have been happy no matter what. I mean, New England and the Jets. You think New England was happy about the way that they played against the Jets and have it that close? No, they weren't, but still a win. And I think you look on a weekly basis, every week out of the 16 games or however many games are played on that particular week, you're going to get four or five, fully a third of those games will be some team that you don't think is very good that is hanging right in there, maybe even beating a team that is much better. I mean, it just happens on a weekly basis.
Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Full reaction for Titans and Colts. Glenn, get us started today out of Bridgestone Arena. What's up, Glenn?
Yeah, I was wondering, what is the name of the linebacker from UCLA?
Jayon Brown.
Is he a, he looks a step and a half faster than any of the rest of our linebackers. Am I just seeing something, or
good
looks
eyes.
A lot quicker?
No, that's good eyes. He is a step and a half faster than most people on the team. He can run fast.
Is he playing a lot? I don't follow how many plays. Are they putting him in there a lot?
He's playing more and more. They're kind of using him as a coverage linebacker. He's not a big, strong, thumping guy, but he is very athletic and he can run.
And I just had one other question. I'll hang up and you guys can answer. I'm very concerned about Jarrell Casey and then the kid from Michigan State. Seems like they both regressed this year.
Glenn, who's from Michigan State?
Conklin.
Oh, Conklin. Okay.
Yeah.
With Casey, now you would know better than me. I think Casey has been horrible this year. Horrible. And now he's got lofty standards because he has been a really good player for a long time. But I think Casey is awful this year. And you heard Gruden kind of, when they kind of highlighted Casey, Gruden was kind of like, well, you know, this year he hadn't been very good. But in the years past, Casey's been really, really good. And I'm thinking to myself, and I was thinking during the game, what's he done this year? I'm with the caller. I am worried about Casey.
Well, they have. I think that's probably true of the defensive front. You know, if you look at the first half of that game and look at the number of pressures we got on the quarterback, the number of hits we got on the quarterback, the number of sacks we got on the quarterback, it wasn't very impressive. And they were running the ball. And that offensive line, I mean, we all know, they are struggling.
Mm-hmm. What are you pointing at? There's a replay of the Titans.
Yeah, but you see Fowler just decked that guy. Guy was blitzing. Fowler stepped up and knocked his head off.
That's great. Maybe they should have taken him in the third round instead of the fourth round. I am worried about Casey. Conklin, I'm worried about the line. You know, the one thing that is consistent, there are two things that are consistent about the Tennessee Titans right now. And I find this to be rather worrisome that there are only these two things. I'll get to those two consistent things and why I'm so worried about it. We'll get to that coming up next. We are live out at Bridgestone Arena today. Once again, the Preds taking on the Colorado Avalanche tonight at 7 o'clock. And we'll get into some stuff about this Titans defense. We'll get to that coming up next. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman. Plus more of your calls, 615-737-1025. Jared the GM, ESPN 1025, the game.
It's a play fake. Brissett, will he run for it? He lunges. Where are they going to mark it? It's going to be short.
Wesley Woodyard.
That might have been one of the plays of the game right there, GM. Fourth down, Titans keep Brissett from getting the first down, which from where I sat, I thought Brissett was surely going to get the first down, and he didn't. And Woodyard made the big play. And Woodyard has had a really good year.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of consistency, I thought about putting him on the list. I got two players on the Titans that are consistent in what they do. And this is what drives me up a wall about this team. Two players are consistent. The kicker and the punter. Other than that, like Marcus had a really good second half yesterday. But would you say, is Marcus consistent? No. Is the running game consistent?
In the game yesterday, he was consistent.
But I'm talking about week to week. You know exactly what you're going to get from Marcus.
Yeah, he missed the week.
But I'm saying, overall, is Marcus consistent? Marcus has some weeks where he turns the ball over, some weeks where he's great, some weeks where he has throws where he looks like Tom Brady, and then he has other throws where he looks like Vince Young. Is the running game consistent this season?
Well, the running game is consistent when we run it.
Well, but, I mean.
Well, I mean, they can't. They players can't control that.
No, I'm just saying, though, the running game has not been consistent. The blocking has not been consistent. The only thing that's been consistent with the Titans, and this scares the daylights out of me, is the kicker and the punter. Now, Woodyard has been a very nice surprise, and I have to give Williamson credit because I dogged him after the Dolphins game, and he had the huge strip of Jack Doyle that led to some points for the Titans. But I'm still worried about the Titans' defense.
What about Delanie Walker? What about Rishard Matthews? They're not consistent?
What did they do in the Dolphin game? What did they do in the Texan game? I mean,
they are consistent.
What did they do? Not like the kicker. The kicker comes out. You know, every time the kicker walks out.
He set an NFL record.
And I like that. I want more people to strive to do things like that. Try to make more NFL records for consistency.
Yeah.
I'm for that. But right now, like with the Titans, it just, I want to feel good about this team. Look, they're going to be in first place when they go into the bye, which is going to be 7 weeks into the season. They're going to be 4-3 because they're going to beat the Browns. So you can feel good about the Titans that 8 weeks through the season after their bye, they will be in first place, right? You're halfway home, you're in first place, basically. Because you're 7 games through, you're going to be 4-3. So you feel good about that. But at the same time, I just don't know how I feel about this football team. Like, I want to feel like, yes, this is what we're looking at. This is a team that, but that Titans defense, and this is the question that I put on, you know, when I was thinking this is, the Titans defense is what? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it inconsistent? Is it a bad pass rush? Is it a secondary that hasn't gotten better? I mean, what is this defense when you look at it? Because I know they gave up 3 second-half points, which that in and of itself shocked me when I look back at it. But early in the game, the Colts were the quarterback who Gruden was saying, Gruden's like, he doesn't even know the plays. They say NASA, and he has to think, oh, the Rockets go up. That quarterback doesn't even know the playbook, and they're gashing the Titans with the run game, and he's throwing it all over them, and they're scoring on every drive, and if Moncrief catches it, it's a touchdown. They didn't punt in the first half. I just don't know what to make of it, especially the defense. So that's the question, and we'll take calls in on it, 615-737-1025, but the Titans' defense is what, Floyd?
To me?
Yes.
I would say inconsistent. I would say that's probably it. I mean, you'll see them in spells play, you know, well enough. The game, we have to keep this in mind. And you're trying to separate each one of all these little items. Well, that's not the way it works. The way it works is the reason that we only gave up three points in the second half was because we were on the field for 25 minutes. What do we always say? If we're on the field, our defense, for 25 minutes, we're going to play good defense. And that's what happened. When we have to play 35 minutes, like Indy's defense did, when you get to the latter part of the fourth quarter, you are worn out. You're not used to being on the field that much. Consequently, you start giving up big plays that makes it even uglier than it is. And so I think that's what we have to understand, that all this stuff is tied together. And if we can go in and run the ball and play action pass, Marcus and play action passes last night was off the charts. I mean, I'm not sure he threw an incompletion, but if he did, he didn't throw many. I mean, he was every play action pass was a completion. Why? Because we were running the ball. Were we getting all the yardage that we wanted every time we ran the ball? No, we weren't. Would you like to run it better? Yes, we were. But by the end of the game, I mean, we ripped off a 75-yarder. So, I mean, that's the way it works, I think. And that's why with the defense, if you isolate each one of these, I mean, are we anything like Denver's defense? No, we're not. Denver's got the best defense in the league. They got 3 number one corners. They've got, you know, 2 or 3 number one pass rushers. We don't have any of that. So, I mean, there's a difference, but it doesn't mean you give up. You still got to find a way to play. And I think that's what we're doing. We're going out, and we have a formula that will work as long as we work that formula.
I must just be too much of a hater because I'm looking back at some of the stats. The Titans in total defense are 17th in the league. That's not bad. And if you told me before the season 17th in the league, I would say that'd probably get it done, considering that their offense is supposed to be pretty good. Now, their offense is 17th also in the league, which that is an issue in and of itself. But, I mean, 17th in the league on defense, and I look back at some of the stats. On third down, the Colts were 2-9. That's a great stat for the Titan defense. You're right, the time of possession, great for the Titans. But it just, I mean, when I watch it, when I watch these players, I just don't feel it. I watch this defense, and I just don't feel comfortable with them. And I don't know if it's me being a hater or if it's that this defense has a lot of work to do.
Well, look at it this way. Who are the 2 players on this team that have beaten us last 5 or 6 years.
Hilton.
Yeah.
Luck.
Well, and Luck's not there. Who's the other one?
Doyle.
Okay. What'd they do yesterday?
Well, Doyle fumbled the football almost twice, and Hilton caught one ball.
For 19 yards. Hard to get a lot better than that now.
I know, but if Moncrief doesn't drop the touchdown, and I know you're going to say, but he did drop the touchdown.
That's exactly
but
right.
I know you as a defensive coach, when you saw that ball go out of Moncrief's hands, you thought, thank God, because that was a touchdown.
Moncrief didn't even see it.
How does that happen?
Lights.
You think so?
I heard him talking on his show. He didn't even see the ball because the lights.
Moncrief said that?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's some home field advantage. But they held the Colts.
They held the Colts to
297 yards. If you can hold the Colts under, well, not the Colts, because the Colts, you know, there's nothing special with the Colts. But if you can hold a team in an NFL game under 300 yards of total offense, you should feel pretty good about yourself.
You're doing pretty well, yeah.
So, I mean, like, I don't know how I feel about this defense. I mean, that first half defense was so bad. It was so terrible. And yet, you go through the stats at the end of the day. Did you ever have those type of games as a coach or a GM where you felt awful about something?
Well,
and then you looked at the stats and you said, that can't be right.
Yeah. What was the halftime score?
The scoreboard at halftime?
Yeah.
What, Indy was up 13-9?
13 points. 13 points.
Should have been 17, but Moncrief obviously didn't see the football.
13 points. Think about that.
That's on pace for 26. I mean, that's not.
No.
And I said yesterday on the show, Jeff Fisher football would be fine. Kick field goals. And everybody in the stands, they were moaning and groaning about the field goal kicking. And I kept saying, no, field goals are fine. They're fine. Don't worry about it. Jared, don't get too worked up about kicking all these field goals. Now, I don't like running into rounds to Delanie Walker around the goal line like that. But, I mean, I was okay with the field goal kicking, but as I look at the stats, I mean, I wanted to come on the air today when I say, okay, we're going to talk about the Titans defense and just talk about how bad they are. And then I'm looking at the stats, and they really weren't that bad yesterday.
I mean, again, last 2 weeks, statistically.
I don't care about the Dolphin game. That offense was – I mean, their own fans were booing them while they were winning.
Statistically, we have been off the charts. And that awful offense was down 17-0 to the Super Bowl team last year and came back and won the game. 17-0 at halftime. Atlanta and Miami came back and won the game. The awful Miami Dolphins against the Super Bowl team.
Well, you threw out the last segment. You said you don't count the Texan game. So if you don't count the Texan game, then I get to not count the Dolphin game.
You can count whatever you want.
By the way, met a lot of fans. I do want to get to that. I met a lot of fans last night at the game. They came up, said they were huge fans of the show.
Yeah.
And I thanked them for listening to the show and how – you know, important it is that we have great listeners like that. But our listeners were cool, man. They were all big fans, and they're much bigger fans of me than they are of you, and I thought that was great. And I'm just kidding about that. But, no, it was great to see people out at the game last night that were big fans of the show. So I wanted to appreciate everybody that came up and, you know, took some pictures and whatnot and everything, and I'm just really glad that we have a lot of people that are big supporters of the show. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. No Mike Mularkey press conference today, although he will have a conference call. I guess you don't have to do your press conference if you play on Monday Night Football?
Yeah, that'd be right.
Okay, so Mike's not doing the press conference today. So we have no Mike Mularkey press conference. But we do have some injury news and notes to get to. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025. It's Jared and the GM. Do not forget to make your silly underdog picks brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Pick three college underdog teams you think will win before the weekend's college football games begin. To sign up and make your picks, visit thegamenashville.com now. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I mean, he did what we asked. You know, he didn't go out in a full-out sprint to try to make a first down, a couple of them. I thought he did exactly what we wanted, did not have to move around as much, which he's capable of doing. But I thought he handled it just like we talked about.
Titans coach Mike Mularkey talking about the performance from Marcus yesterday. Of course, we know Marcus was not able to run at all. And boy, I tell you, that little scramble when he slid down right there, I said, Marcus, you're the man. Just stay out of it. Just don't.
And, Marcus, he showed you what he was going to do. He took about five steps.
Whoop, boom. Not even going to try. And we know about Marcus's hamstring injury, and that leads us right into the Comprehensive Pain Specialist Injury Report. Once again, the Comprehensive Pain Specialist, relieve pain, regain life. Floyd, what did you think about Marcus and his hamstring? Because the way I looked at it yesterday, I didn't know if Marcus was just being cautious or if Marcus really couldn't run, but it didn't look like he could run at all. The most running he did was after the touchdown pass to Taywan Taylor. Marcus ran to go keep Quentin Spain from getting in a fight and picking up a 15-yard penalty. And at first I thought Marcus was running to go celebrate with him, and I'm thinking, Marcus, no, 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 no. And I saw he was keeping Spain from getting a penalty. I'm like, good job, Marcus. So other than that, what did you think of Marcus with his hamstring yesterday?
You know, he obviously did a great job of dealing with it. I mean, the really important part about that hamstring, the really big thing about that hamstring, is what the rest of the team got out of it. And I think if you picked up the paper or you read the articles today and people were saying, you know, well, what do you think about Marcus? What a great leader. What a really, really tough guy. I couldn't believe he was able to play. I mean, just on and on. Nobody talked about how well he threw the ball. Nobody talked about play action passes. All they did was talk about what a stud he was. And that's what you want your quarterback to be. I mean, that's what you want the team to, when they look at the quarterback, they go, this guy is a real man right here now. You know, whatever he says, you do. However he acts, you act. And so I thought that was the really important thing out of it. I'm really, really happy he didn't. He was smart with what he did, didn't risk it. You know, got out, like you said, the pocket of time or two, slid right down, which is smart. But the second biggest event maybe out of the whole thing was him forced to throw from the pocket. He was so good.
Which obviously was a big deal to John Gruden last night.
Oh, it's a giant deal. I mean, you know what? We talk about young quarterbacks, and there are young quarterbacks that would not be able to do that. In fact, most young quarterbacks would not be able to do that.
Well, and I'll say this, too. For everybody that says, Colin Kaepernick should be the backup of the Titans. Colin Kaepernick fits it perfect. I'll tell you, Colin Kaepernick's not doing that now.
No.
I mean, Derek has been very tough on Marcus. Derek Mason on 3D has been very tough on Marcus throwing outside the numbers. Marcus was beautiful yesterday outside the numbers. To Matthews, to Decker. I mean, Decker looked like a real wide receiver last night for the first time all season. I was shocked.
I mean, you after last night, you look at it and you think, if Davis ever gets back.
I've already thought about it.
If we ever see him again in a uniform, that would have a chance to be a pretty complete group.
Oh, yeah, especially because you can just send Taylor deep. Yeah. Taylor, go. Just go deep.
And we need to line him up three times a game and move him all over the place, do anything you want to with him, but you tell him to just run as fast and as far as you can, and I'll throw it as far as I can, and maybe we hook up.
Now, on the injury front, Mike Mularkey said after the game yesterday the one injury that they did sustain was Derek Morgan with an abdominal strain, but Mike says that he doesn't think that that's going to be very serious. Boy, Derek Morgan is so mediocre. I said this yesterday on the show. You know, he's not a good player, but people think he's a good player, but he's not. But he's not a bad player. So it's very easy to point out the bad players like Parrish Cox and get all worked up. But he's not that. He's just not a good player. I mean, this pass rush is terrible. Before we get to the pass rush, though, a reminder, that is the Comprehensive Pain Specialist Injury Report. Relieve pain, regain life. The pass rush for the Titans has got to get better. Let's go to the phones. 615-737-1025. Bill is up next on Mariota. What's up, Bill?
Hey, how you guys doing, man? Great. It's a beautiful day in Middle Tennessee, is it not?
Been a long time for one of those Titans.
I tell you what, yeah, exactly, Tennessee. Man. But hey, you guys just touched on a little bit about what I was wanting to talk about. Marcus sitting back in that pocket, he looked like he was very comfortable in that pocket. That front line down in there in the grid, they give him all the protection he needed to do what he needed to do as a wounded quarterback with a hamstring. That hamstring, everybody knows that hamstring is something that will just wear you down and you sometimes never recover from it. But give kudos to the offensive line. They protected their quarterback, done a fine job. Defense does need to step up and get on the ball, get a little more sack out of it, get this coverage stop and let them go. But, hey, kudos to the line that protected him. They done an excellent job.
Thank you, Bill.
And I'm going to hang up and listen.
Thank you. Floyd, are you as peachy about the offensive line yesterday as Keller is?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the offensive line. I mean, the first half, I'm not sure they were all that good. Second half, yes, without a doubt. But, again, I think the thing I was thrilled out about is Marcus throwing from the pocket. I mean, that was – and people were saying, wow, you know, he's supposed to throw from the pocket. That isn't that big a deal. The truth is, when you take a young quarterback like this and you say, hey, we're going to lock you in between the hashes. You cannot go out one way or the other or step up inside. You've got to hang right there. I'm going to tell you, that's a little bit traumatizing. And yet he did it and played very well doing it. You've heard me say forever, I mean, the secret to an injury is not playing. The secret to an injury is playing as well as you usually play with the injury, and that's definitely what Marcus did.
The NFL should write the Titans a check right now because when they meet for Colin Kaepernick's collusion case against the league, because apparently the reports were that Kaepernick not getting an invite from the Titans to work out was like the last straw for him to file this collusion case, which, by the way, he has no chance of winning. They should show this tape. Because, like I said, Colin Kaepernick can't do what Marcus did yesterday. You know, that throwing from the pocket that Marcus did, he can't do that. And that goes back to the point that we talked about before the Miami game of why Castle and why Whedon are here. And it's because that offense that they ran yesterday was what they could run with Matt Castle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now they ran a couple of those read option looks, but Marcus handed the ball off every time. I don't even know why they did that.
Yeah.
Because he was no threat to run the football. But, I mean, in this instance, with Marcus Mariota, it's hard for me to walk away from the game and feel any better about it with the way he played. And, Floyd, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but does Taywan Taylor, with the threat of being able to catch the deep ball, not totally change how defenses have to play the Titans now?
Oh, yeah. You've heard me say before, I mean, the number one fear of any corner in the league is having somebody run by you. And if you've got somebody that can, in fact, run by you, I mean, you've heard me say, you back up a step or two. You know, you're not gonna hang in there.
And we know it won't be Decker or Matthews or Delaney anybody.
Right now, he's the only one. I mean, Davis may be able to do it. I don't know. But for sure, he can.
Well, and Davis is going to hurt his hamstring if he does. So Taylor is the only one they have. We'll take more calls, 615-737-1025. But coming up next, John Gruden brought it up early in the broadcast yesterday about Mariota and why this could have humongous ramifications for the Titans franchise. We'll get to that coming up next, live at Bridgestone Arena today, where the Predators take on the Colorado Avalanche tonight at 7 o'clock. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.